I'm Dr. Florence Comite, endocrinologist and founder of Comite Center for Precision Medicine in New York City and the personal health app Quantiome. You can find me on Instagram and social media at Comite MD. My bestseller, Keep It Up, is available on Amazon.
Well, thank you for joining me this morning, Dr. Comite, and we're talking about personalized genomics. What is that?
So personalized genomics is an emerging science that actually looks at an individual's DNA to provide personal guidance on disease risk, for example, and lifestyle factors such as your metabolism and even your exercise response. Like, do you have genes that make you endure marathons? Are you someone who is better at really rapid response and you like things that would have you running quickly and issues like that?
It sounds fantastic.
It sure does. And that's where this whole boom in the industry has come from. So the whole idea is, wouldn't it be great if we could spit in a tube or take a blood test and figure out exactly how to live our best lives for the longest time possible? There are tons of companies, for example, using genomic data in their offerings, from basic tests that look at only a few or single genes, such as a BRCA screening for breasts or associated cancer risks like colon cancer, to the whole genome sequencing that look at the entire genome. And that's great. In fact, I just heard, for example, there's an increase in colon cancer in younger folks. And so that's the kind of thing that we should take seriously.
So why hasn't it really taken off? We don't hear about it a lot. Why does my doctor ask me for my genome when I go in for, let's say, a sinus infection?
Oh, that's a great question. And from my perspective, this really isn't a problem with data, but the translation of that data. And I've been thinking about this for a very long time, as you know. It started for me back at Yale over 20 years ago. But without context, the genome can tell us very little about you as an individual. And there are numerous factors that influence the expression of genes. For example, your metabolism or hormones, a person's personal or family history and lifestyle, the way you sleep or work out, the way you eat, or don't eat, or don't work out, or don't sleep. And there really isn't anyone in the space studying how it all integrates together. That's actually been my work and my fascination and passion for the last few decades at Yale, and now my work at the Center for Precision Medicine. How do we actually connect the dots to understand what it really means if you have this gene, and I have the same gene, but we express it very differently? And why? Why do we express it differently? So those are the issues that we're still grappling with, and yet that hasn't even begun in academic centers. That focus is still very much on disease and disease states.
So what do you say to people who say genomics is just a waste?
It's definitely not a waste. I just mentioned the rapid increase in colon cancer diagnoses at a younger age. So just think, it's declining in those folks, not like us, over 50. And so doing predictive genomics for are you at risk for colon cancer would move the testing earlier in those who might be at risk. So instead of waiting until 50 to get your colonoscopy, you might do it at 40 or even 30 or even 20, because cancer grows at a slow pace. And so that's helpful. But although I used to think family history was a poor man's genetic test, in most respects now, I believe it to be much richer. So just taking a deep family history is important because it reveals how our DNA expresses itself, how it comes out of our body, and how it actually reacts, how our body really expresses longitudinally. In fact, I regularly sequence my clients at the center, meaning I look at their DNA in a process called whole genome sequencing, because there is what we call actionable data we can glean, we can understand from a genetic test, provided it's considered within the context of all other bits and bytes that make up an individual's health. And that's what's missing from a lot of these companies. No fault of their own, But this is the kind of research that is not widespread and that I'm hoping to publish shortly, because I've been monitoring folks for decades or a decade or two, mm-hmm. and I have the data that connects some of these dots, and I can show that we can understand individuals. But most of the research that goes on at places like Yale and Harvard and Hopkins and other places on genomics and epigenetics revolve around disease signatures. For example, gene expression in tumors and therapeutics that would remedy that. But nobody is really looking at the genomics of, let's say, sprinter muscles versus marathon runners and what that means for muscle maintenance with aging. So if I'm told by a direct-to-consumer test that I have sprinter muscles, which, by the way, I do, hence I use that as an excuse never to run a marathon, never, ever. It does. I don't know about you, but marathons are not my thing.
No.
But I can run and sprint and do interval training, which I actually love. As long as you tell me it's over in a minute, I'll do it. It doesn't really tell me much. I really don't know that I necessarily should be sprinting. For me, I do, because I have all the other factors. But for you, I can't tell you that. I would have to know more. And I may have other health factors that predispose me, for example, to shin splints or tendon tears or stress fractures. And I would need to know what else I might have to shore up in you to get you healthier. For example, I know for me that my magnesium is topped out at 6. I don't need magnesium. Yeah. If I take magnesium, for example, I react to it. But 90% of the population need magnesium. So that is an important factor. In other cases, a person might be malnourished and underweight and should not be sprinting at all. So there are a lot of variables to consider.
We're talking about how far ahead you are with the Comité Center in this field, and you're thinking that personalized genomics won't become mainstream. Don't you think it's on the route to that because of things like Ancestry.com and 23andMe? It makes it more likely that people will say, I want to see where I fit in the scheme of things.
You're absolutely right. And for somebody who grew up thinking he or she was German and now find out they're really Irish or and they do that jig, right, on
yes,
TV,
yes.
That's great. And in fact, you've hit the nail on the head. That's where all the money is going, and that's what most people want, because they want to know who they are. There are lots of folks who have mixed ancestry. In fact, apparently in Hawaii,
yes.
There's a fabulous article in New York Times that I think we spoke about earlier, and in another interview. I do hope that personalized genomics becomes mainstream, and it's getting there, you're right, because it's exciting and it's sexy. I have been anticipating personalized genomics medicine, not just the tests, but a whole way of thinking about health by integrating and interpreting individualized data for many, many years. But I think in terms of a reality for health, not disease care, but health and how you anticipate your own health, how you control your health trajectory for decades. But I think we're at least a decade away, probably 2 decades away, because I'm always in a hurry, from really making it a reality for most folks to take it home. I'm actually working, as you know, on my own startup that scales what I've built over the years at the center, but as a digital platform where you can take an app, fill in all the bits and bytes about who you are, how you sleep, how you work out, what you do, and then allow technology to help to scale advanced medicine. But the translational piece, that is the clinical issue that healthcare truly hasn't rallied around yet, that the information that's actually in your biomarkers, the numbers we read every year when you get your annual, but we don't connect those dots effectively. They are there for the taking. It's what I've been doing, and I think NIH is on a roll to do it in their All of Us trial. People should look that up, the allofus.org, joinallofus.org. We can all join. It's going to take another 10 years and 1 million folks. That's what they want. But it will take a major shift in academic medicine and education and how we are training doctors, how we think about and research health and disease. And insurance companies will need to be involved, as you know, in that discussion. It's a big nut to crack.
There's all this talk about Medicare for all. I wonder how that will play in, first part of my question. And the second part of my question, should I get a genetic test or not?
You know, that depends, okay, on your family history, on your lifestyle, on the way you live, and what you want to think about. I believe in it. I'm biased. So if you have a genetic test or you're interested in undergoing a test, I would encourage you to first do your research, to speak to somebody who might know a little bit more, like us here, to do your homework in advance and understand risks and benefits. Maybe speak to your family and find out what's going on, because that's your best way of getting a future indicator of what might be brewing under the surface. And then a boring genome is actually good news. Yes. But if you can speak to your family, you've made a big, giant step into your future, because your family is kind of the way you're going to express your genes to begin with. And as we continue to learn more and more about the genome and other omic sciences, I'm hoping to start publishing the data we've collected and start blogging about how to put those factors together. Like even your simple lab test, the metabolism that you express in your chemistries, the CBC or complete blood count, like your red cells, your white cells, and your hormones, will give us insight into who you are and what your health looks like. Epigenetics, which says what is the interaction of your environment on your genes, just to name a few. So it might be a few years until we can make sense of the data, but it's still very, very valuable. And so I do encourage folks to spring into it, to start maybe with ancestry, because buried in some of that are some of these SNPs that give us a clues about who you are and how to keep your health to life. And that is really the most valuable insight you can get, because I personally want to live life in the best health ever until the last possible moment. And maybe getting your genome is sort of like buying a book in a language you're not fluent in yet.